That's what it feels like, doesn't it? To wait. It's uncomfortable, it's tense, and you wonder when it's ever going to end. Well, imagine this. That was just 60 seconds. And I'm sure for some it felt a lot longer than that. I could almost hear kind of the tension. I could feel it. What's going on? What's he doing? When is this going to end? I know he's old, but I don't think he's forgotten how to talk. But imagine if you were to stretch that 60 seconds into several months of looking for a job. We got to feel a little bit of the frustration that you might be feeling right now. Or maybe we would stretch that 60 seconds into a couple of years of looking for a husband or a wife, or wanting to have children. Or stretching that 60 seconds out to a season of time dealing with a health issue that just doesn't seem to go away. Imagine stretching that 60 seconds out waiting for a relationship to be restored, month after month after month, maybe going into years. Let me pray as we start tonight, this morning. Oh God, there are wonderful truths to be spoken now, not by my voice, but by yours. And we need hearts and minds that are supple and malleable and touchable so that the things of your word don't bounce off of us, don't ricochet off of granite hearts, but sink in and do their saving, sanctifying, humbling, joy and hope-giving work. So do the heart work, Lord, I pray, that I cannot do while I try to give voice to your word. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. See, when you came into church this morning, regardless of what your church background, whether you know Jesus Christ intimately or maybe you're trying to figure out who this guy is, we all have something in common. It's that waiting. We've all been in the waiting room of life. Many of us find ourselves there today. And all of us can look back through a season of time when we're in the waiting room. And all of us will unfortunately be in the waiting room yet again sometime. So for that brief 60 seconds, we experience the uncomfortable nature of being in the waiting room. Because if truth be told, none of us really likes to wait for anything. The other thing that I suspect that happened during that 60 seconds was that you began to ask questions in your mind. What's going on? When is this going to end? What's happening? And those questions are valid questions when we go through the waiting room of life. We ask the what and when questions. Whatever waiting room situation you find yourself in this morning, you likely ask questions like, when is the waiting going to end and when am I going to get what I'm waiting for? When will I get married? When will we have children? When will I get that job offer? When will my health situation be resolved? When will I get what I'm waiting for? These are great questions to ask, and I think every one of us have asked those questions sometimes in our lives. And the longer we spend in the waiting room waiting for answers, the more we tend to focus on the when in the waiting room and the what that we're waiting for. But I want to talk to you today about the danger of focusing on these types of questions, the when and what questions. Because I think there's a dangerous, slippery slope that we enter into when we ask those types of questions. And here's the danger. See, the danger happens when what you're waiting on becomes what you're hoping in. And that, friends, is a dangerous, slippery slope. And here's a couple of reasons. The first reason is that it's an uncomfortable truth, but it needs to be said, is we don't always get what we want in this life, do we? I know I haven't, and I'm sure you haven't either. The truth is, if what you are waiting on becomes what you're hoping in, you have to deal with the fact that you might not get what you want, or you might not get it when you want it. And that's not a very good feeling. It's not a good place to be. And the other reason that this is a dangerous slope is that there's a very good chance that you will get exactly what you want and what you've been waiting for. And friends, we think that's the end of our problems. Great. But we'll discover this morning, I think, as many of you probably already have discovered, that it's a place of disillusionment and disheartenment. See, many of us will get out of the waiting room, but if that's where your hope is, it's a dangerous and slippery slope. We think I could just get what I'm waiting for, that, you know what, if I could just do that, all of my problems would be gone. But see, friends, that's not the case. So what do? We have this dilemma. But fortunately for us, the Bible comes to our rescue. Because in essence, the Bible says that whenever you find yourselves in the waiting room, there's a way out. The Bible says that you're not waiting on a what or a when type of a question. You're actually waiting on something else. To which we were replied, no, actually we are waiting on a job, a marriage, a healing. But the Bible would gently push back and say, actually, no, that's not true. You think you are waiting, and you're waiting for something. But the reason you can't wait on that is you can't place your hope in that something. See, if we allow the Bible to speak to us this morning, what God will do, what the Spirit of God will do, is to give us a different perspective on the things that we're actually waiting for. And while we're spending time in the waiting room. See, here's the truth. If you are open to receive it, your circumstances likely will not change this morning by the time I'm done talking. But I hope your perspective on your circumstances will change, and that something deep inside of you will change as well. See, I know you think you're waiting on when and what, as important as they are to each of you this morning. I'm not negating that at all. But it's actually not what you're waiting on. You're waiting on something else. And when we discover what that is where we can place our hope, and we will find our strength. So if you have your Bibles with you, I know some of you actually still carry a Bible. If not, pick up one of these things and open your Bible app to the book of Isaiah. If you have a hardcover Bible, it's kind of in the middle almost. You'll hit Psalms, go a little bit to the right, and that's where you'll find it. We're going to be starting at chapter 40. And see, the great thing about this chapter is Isaiah is addressing a group of people called Jacob and Israel, but in essence, he is addressing us this morning as well, in this time and season of waiting that so many of us find ourselves. See, Isaiah starts with a couple of really good questions. In Isaiah 40, 27, it says, "Why do you complain, Jacob? Why do you say, Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord. My cause is disregarded by my God." Why do you say that? And to which we would have a great response. See, if Isaiah asked us those questions this morning, he'd say, hey, why are you complaining? Why do you think God's disregarding your cause? And we'd have all kinds of answers for that. He said, you know what, my friends are having children, and we can't have children. I've been waiting for a job, and I cannot find a job. My buddy's been married 3 times. I'm still waiting to get married for my first time. That's why we think our cause has been disregarded. See, but what Isaiah is doing is he's asking these questions of us to bring to the surface the true focus, and that focus is really on our circumstances. See, it was the focus of Jacob, and it was the focus of Israel, and if we're not careful, it's going to be our focus as we spend time in the waiting room. But then Isaiah asks a couple of more questions. In 40:28, he says, "Do you not know? Have you not heard?" And we think, oh, great, finally, he's going to give us the advice. He's going to give me what I need to know how to fix my problem, this thing I've been waiting for. But what Isaiah is going to do is completely change our focus and our perspective on our situations that we're waiting for. What he tells us may at first glance seem like totally off topic, totally irrelevant to our situation. Isaiah is about to tell us what we're ultimately waiting for. In Isaiah 40:28, he says, "The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom." So when it comes to the waiting room, we are not waiting on what or when, we are waiting on who? The Lord. Now, at a surface reading, that seems totally irrelevant. Like he said, like you missed the point. He says, okay, the Lord is the everlasting God. Great, I got that. But how is that going to help me tomorrow when I got to get up and get out of bed and go look for another job? How is that going to help me? How is that going to help me when I'm still hoping to someday get married? How is it going to help me in this season of waiting? Well, here's how it helps you. See, if you came in this morning focused on your situation, and friends, that's totally understandable. If you're consumed with when is this waiting going to be over and when do I get what I'm waiting on, then I suspect you feel totally exhausted and drained in the waiting room. See, waiting on our circumstances to change is completely draining. But when you focus on the who, when you focus on the Lord, he draws near to you and gives you strength. Isaiah says that when you shift your focus from the what and the when to the who, this is what he says will happen. This is the promise of Scripture. Isaiah 40:29-30. "He, the Lord, gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But they who wait," or your translation may say hope, "they who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They will mount up on wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." See, the Lord, who is the creator of the ends of the earth, the Lord is the everlasting God, and when we're focused on him, and you realize that you are ultimately waiting on him and his plan developing in your life, as you wait on him, he gives you the strength for the journey. See, here's what happens. The Lord gives you the strength today to take one more step towards tomorrow. And tomorrow you get up and you do the same thing. You focus on the Lord, who is the creator of the ends of the earth, and you focus on him and you focus on his plans for your life, and he gives you the strength to take one more step and one more step. And the more you do that, that step turns into a quick walking pace. And that quick walking pace eventually turns into a run. And then before you know it, you are soaring on wings like eagles because you see the will of God that has been working in your life. And you look back and you are just amazed at what he's done. You can't believe what God has done as he writes his story on your life. See, if we focus on our circumstances, it's completely draining, friends. You know that. But when we focus on the Lord, He gives us the strength to take one more step towards His plan for our lives. But it's our choice. What we focus on, our circumstances or the Lord? Friends, this is deep heart work that Isaiah is asking us to do, and that I'm asking you this morning to do as well. See, many of you know that I like sailing. I grew up sailing in Orillia and you know, competed in sailing with my brother. We just had a blast. I still love sailing. I don't do it nearly as often as one. But one of the things on my bucket list is to do some blue water sailing. That's like open ocean stuff. And maybe a 35 or 45 foot, you know, beautiful sailboat. These sailboats are designed to be able to take the wind and the waves and the cross currents of the open ocean. Beautiful machines. But these sailboats also have this thing at the bottom of the boat, at the bottom of the keel, there's this thing called a ballast. And basically, it's a big chunk of lead. It's very, very heavy. They're designed to be heavy, and this ballast is designed to keep the boat stable and in balance in the rough sea. Because without it, the wind would blow on the sails, and there would not be enough counterforce, and it would just flip over and capsize. See, to put it simply, for a sailboat to navigate the open ocean, there must be more weight beneath the waterline than above it. And see, when God begins a season of waiting in our lives, the first thing that will be tested is the ballast of your life, which is your heart. It's the weight beneath the waterline. You can't see it, but any refining of your heart will affect everything else that you do in life. Your heart is not above skill or gifting or even calling. It's deeper. It's the epicenter. It's the core of everything that you have. It's where you respond to God. It's where you process events and deliberate on decisions. It's the repository from which your future is shaped. It's that one non-negotiable you must have intact while you're in the waiting room. So the single best thing you can do during a time of waiting is to give yourself to the process and take our focus off of our circumstances and put it squarely on the Lord, the everlasting God who has a plan for your life and my life. As I mentioned earlier, you might not get what you're hoping for, and you might not get it when you want it. I understand that. But see, the wonderful thing when our hope is not in when or what, but our hope is in who, God gives us the strength. God gives you a peace, and God deals with our disappointments. As Amy taught us last week, we wait patiently, courageously, humbly, expectantly, steadfastly, and trustingly. And as Daryl taught us 2 weeks ago about Elijah and his running to and pursuing after God, likewise, today we're called to place our hope and trust in the Lord and not in our circumstances. God wants to lead us to surrender our plans in order to receive His plans. And believe me, God's plans for us are always far better than our plans are for ourselves. I had a friend in kind of a past life before I was in this role. And he had said very early in his career, actually in his school, he's doing some postgraduate work, that he wanted, by the time he hit 50, he wanted to have a lot of money in the bank. And he set a number. And he worked hard, and he sacrificed, and he crimped, and he saved. And he was very successful. And I went to his 50th birthday party. This was quite some time ago. And he had multiple times the number that he had placed. He had everything by the world's standards. Beautiful house, fancy cars. and yet he was totally empty. He had gotten everything he had wanted and then some. He had placed all of his hope, all of his dreams, all of his energy on this goal that he had. And when he finally got the goal, it meant nothing to him. He was empty. He had no relationship with his wife. He had no relationship with his kids because he spent all his life working for this goal. You may very well get exactly what you're wanting. And that's a dangerous place, friends. Because when and what never completely satisfies apart from who? God, the Lord. You could be here this morning, you say, if I could only get married. And then next thing you know, you find yourself walking down an aisle. And you wake up 8 months, a year, 18 months later, and you go, whoa, this is hard work. Or maybe you give anything to be able to have children. And God answers that. And you are blessed with some beautiful children. And you're walking out of the hospital with a little beautiful bundle of joy in your arms. And you don't get a wink of sleep for 6 months. You get what you ask for. See, when our hope is in the Lord and our hearts are open and we receive God's blessing with answered prayer, we are not consumed with the answer, but with the one from whom all blessings flow. We're not consumed with the answer, but from the one from whom all blessings flow. Whatever God chooses to bring in our lives is okay because our hope is in Him. The everlasting God, the creators of the ends of the earth, whose understanding no one can fathom. We can get to a point in our lives of actually saying, yes, you know what, I like this and I like that and I like this. But you know what? At the end of the day, you know, God, I'm going to surrender to your will in my life. Because I know your will is so much better than my will. Can I be honest with you this morning? I hope so. For some of us, the absolute worst thing that could happen to us this week is to get what you're waiting for. Because you're not ready. Now, I say that with all love and respect, not diminishing anything that you're waiting on, friends. But you are focused on the what and not the who. And God, in His love and grace, says, I'm not going to give you that right now until you're focused on me. So what are you focused on this morning? And here's why it's so important. You know, maybe you're focusing on that job, and maybe, you know what, you get a job. You get the best job in the world. And at some point in time, we all know this, that dream job ends. The Lord is the everlasting creator, the creator of the ends of the earth. He is forever and ever and ever. Which one do you want to hope on? Which one do you want to wait on? Which side of the equation do you want to put your hope in, your job or the everlasting God? God will give us the strength to take another step towards His plan. And trust me, we want His plan to override our plans. I want to take another look at another scripture from Isaiah several chapters later, Isaiah 64, verse 4. For since the world began, no ear has heard, no eye has seen a God like you, what? Who works for those who wait for Him. Friends, did you know we don't work for God? God works for us. God wants to work for you. God wants to answer your prayers. God wants to get you out of the waiting room of life. But He wants you first. He wants your heart. He wants your mind. He wants all of who you are to focus on Him, not your stuff, not your problem, not the answer to that prayer. He wants you. And if I'm going to wait in a way that develops me as God wants, I have to learn to wait on the Lord and not just wait on the answer. So how do I do that? Well, this morning, I hope each of you was given a 4x3 card. Pull those out. On one side, it says, what am I waiting for? Now, I know most of you probably don't have pens with you right now, but take that home and think about it and pray about it. Say, what am I really waiting for in my life? And then when you do that, you flip that card over. And on the back side are these two verses from Isaiah. And every time you start thinking about what you're waiting for and what you're struggling with, get that card out and look at what you're waiting for, and then flip it over and look at the verses on the other side. It will keep reminding you where the answer is. What you're really waiting for is not what or when, but who. I'm waiting on God. When His time is right, I can be confident of the fact that He will act in my life. But we're not a patient group of people, are we? We think, come on, God, you made the earth in 7 days. Come on, just snap your fingers, do whatever you do. Do the genie blink. Okay, those that snickered, I know how old you are, because that was I Dream of Genie, okay? We that's what we think. But listen to what 2 Peter 3:9 says. It says, the Lord is not slow in doing what He promised, the way some people understand slowness. But God is being patient with who? Us. He does not want anyone to be lost, but He wants all people to change their hearts and their lives. So for many of us this morning, we are still in the waiting room, and that isn't a nice, there's not a nice fairy tale ending wrapped up in a bow. You're right in the middle of it, and I get that. So what do? You do what we've been talking about in this series, and at the end of the day, when you are tempted to think that God has forgotten you or overlooked you or is paying attention to everybody but you, you need to realize this truth. That God never forgets His people. He never will forget His people, and He's not going to start with you. God's actually waiting for you. Isaiah 30:18 says that the Lord must wait for you to come to Him so He can show you His love and compassion. For the Lord is a faithful God. Blessed are those who wait for His help. Like you think you're waiting on God, which you are. But you know what? God's waiting on you as well. For some of you here this morning, you know what? This is not resonating because you're going, man, God has blessed me, and I'm not in the waiting room right now. And amen to that. I've waited on the Lord. I talked to Him about it, and God has answered my prayers. Great. Hallelujah. You're out of the waiting room. So what is your response? You say, oh, great. Now I can focus on, this, that, or the next thing. Your response should be that of King David in Psalm 40. Psalm 40 says, I waited patiently for the Lord. He turned to me and heard my cry. He lifted me up out of the slimy pit, out of the mud and the mire. He set my feet on a rock. He gave me a firm place to stand. He put a new song in my mouth, a hymn of praise to our God. Many will see and fear the Lord and put their trust in Him. See, when God answers our prayer, when God opens the door of the waiting room, it says, come out, my dear child. Our response should be that of what David's response was. a hymn of praise. Many will see and fear the Lord. How are they going to do that? When people look at you and in your circumstances and when you're praising God for all that he's done in your life. And when they see that, they'll put their trust in him, not in their circumstances, not in their own strength. 2 Corinthians 1, verse 2. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all of our troubles. Why? Why does he do that? So that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves have received from God. Friends, we're not alone in the waiting room. You go through the pages of Scripture, there are dozens and dozens and dozens of people that had to wait on God. It's a large crowd. And if I was to take a poll and hear about who's actually in the waiting room, waiting on God, waiting for answer to prayer, waiting for a circumstance, a situation to change in their lives, many hands would go up. We're not alone. But there are some who God has chosen to bless and answered prayer and has thrown open the doors of the waiting room and says, come out. He's given us a responsibility to come alongside other people. As we walk a mile in the shoes of the waiting room, we can then empathize with others rather than just sympathize with their problem. I've been there. I've done that. This is how I got through. I focused on what, my stuff? No, I focused on the Lord. And he gave me the strength day by day to run, to walk, to rise up on wings like an eagle. And you can do it too. I'll walk with you. I'll pray with you. That's what God calls us to do when he answers our prayers. 1 Thessalonians 5:11 says, so encourage each other and give each other strength. You know that old passage in the Old Testament? Cord of three strands not easily broken. Friends, we need other strands of believers around us to support us, to strengthen us, to comfort us, to hold us accountable. In the despair and the discouragement and the disillusionment of the waiting room, we need people to encourage us and to give us strength. So whether you're in the waiting room or whether you're basking in the glory of God's glow, we express our gratitude for God's past faithfulness. Even if we have to go all the way back to the cross, we start there. When we reflect on all of God's past faithfulness, it will help put our present circumstances into proper perspective. We need to, as Amy taught last week, patiently, courageously, humbly, expectantly, steadfastly, and trustingly pray to God. And ultimately, we must surrender our plans and be prepared to receive his plans. Then at the end of the day, we focus on these two passages from Isaiah and remember that our hope is not in what or when. Our hope is in the Lord, the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth, whose understanding no one can fathom. His plans are so much better than our plans. Jesus bumped up against kind of some of this on his ministry. In John chapter 16, verse 33, he says to those around him, he says, I have told you these things so that where? In me. So that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble. But take heart. I have overcome the world. See, Jesus never promised that, you know what, we're going to walk along in little white fluffy clouds as soon as we accept him into our, and like life is just smooth sailing. He acknowledges that somehow trouble and waiting finds its way into our daily calendars. But Christ has overcome the world. Jesus is greater than any enemy we face, more patient than any waiting that we ever have to do. And he says, I will never leave you or forsake you, never. And I am with you always to the very end of the age. You are his beloved children. And as you wait patiently, God is patiently waiting for you to come to him and to surrender your plans for his plans in his timing, and he will give you the strength to wait for it if you will turn your focus on him. Let me pray. As we pray, some of you might want to use this very moment in your heart to come to God. Say, God, you've been waiting for me. You don't have to wait anymore. I want to trust in you. It may be with your life. Lord, I want to trust you the best I know how with the way I run my everyday life. Thank you for sending Jesus, God. Just tell him that in your hearts if that's what you're feeling. Thanks for sending Jesus into this world to show me how to trust you. I trust you to forgive me for the wrong things that I've done. I trust you to guide and lead me in my life. I don't want you to have to wait for me one more second, God. Father, I'm sorry it's taken me so long, but thank you for waiting for me. Some of you might want to talk to God about a particular thing you're waiting for in your life. And frankly, that's all of us probably. Just say to him one more time, reaffirm in your heart, God, I'm willing to wait for you. I've tried to do it on my own. Thank you for reminding me to wait for your way. I'm willing to wait for your best in my life. Lord Jesus, thank you for the truth. Thank you for the truth that the cross stands as a reminder that God is with us, that God is for us, and that you have not left us, that you have not forgotten us. And God, as we look at our circumstances, it's very difficult at the end of the day. Lord, we turn our gaze on you. God, we need your strength, though. We cannot do this without you. And our heart's desire is that your plans, not our plans, would be the plans we focus on. Your will is what we seek, O Lord. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So we shift our focus as best as we can from our situations to you, Lord. And as we do that, we will rest in the strength that comes from you. And we all pray this in the bold name of Jesus. Amen.